town. When something comes up to me, he don't even try. Cause if I had a set of wings, man, I know she could fly. She's my little Deuce Coop. You don't know what I got.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. Little Deuce Coupe means it's time for affordable automotive in Gulf Breeze. Ken Chartel and Kenny Chartel are here in the studio with us, along with Howard Seaton, who's one of our marketing consultants here at ADX Digital and Consulting and Radio and all the stations. Good morning.
Good morning, Meg.
Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's great to see you.
It's been a long time since last year.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, since last year. Oh, it's killing me. All righty then. So here's the deal. We've got a lot to talk about, and we've got a full hour with the guys this morning, which I'm super excited about. And we're going to have a chance to really get into... I got it. I figured it was me. We have a little technical problem there. No, it was me. So...
Never shocker. Fess up. Never no, fess up.
I know, shocker.
The technician in me was going to work.
Yeah. The
testing, one, two, three.
There he is.
Loud and clear.
Yeah, it's a real simple thing. Turn the mic on, Meg. Yeah, that was the... Every once in a while, I have a little faux pas. But so we're going to talk about affordable automotive. And what's great about this show, y'all, is that this is the car show. So you can text in your questions about your vehicle or maybe something... Did you take a long trip and have something break down over the holidays? Do you have a question about, well, it's warm, but it's going to get cold. Do I need to do... There's all kinds of questions you might have about your vehicle, and these are the guys that have the answers, I promise you. So text in those questions this morning at 850-437-1620. So I'm going to turn it over to the I want to say twins, but it's father and sons. So probably it's not appropriate. But.
Friends of ours call us K-squared.
Yes, you know? That works for me. I like that. That works for me.
Not quite junior.
Right.
But I definitely see the resemblance, I have to say.
You can't say that I didn't come from the same tree.
Yeah,
you know?
No, that's true. Definite. Okay. So you've got a lot of things you wanted to talk about this morning, so let's get to it.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's great to be back here, and a happy new year to all of our listeners, and we hope that the holiday season and the new year treated you well without any car problems, and hopefully some of those tips we had talked about in our last episodes helped you take care of those or get preventative about them. So, you know, today we were just going to follow up a little bit about, we talked last time about maintenance habits and trying to get into the new year and talking about different habits that we can try to change. As we're changing all these habits with ourselves, let's not forget about the vehicle that gets us to and from where we want to go. And, you know, if we didn't do such a great job last year, maybe we can work on doing a better job this year. Those things, along with hopefully that emergency kit that some of our listeners who got the new car may have found in their trunk, you know.
I love that idea. I thought that was great that y'all talked about that.
The emergency kit is something often forgot about. I mean, heaven forbid we get stranded on the side of the road or in a parking lot when we're, one, leaving work or in the middle of the day or whenever. And
it usually happens when it's the least convenient.
Absolutely. I'm in a rush. Always. I need to be here, and my appointment is, I've been waiting 6 months for it kind of thing, right. You know. So that's always how it happens.
All right, so we've got that. I love that idea, and I have an emergency kit in the trunk of my car, actually.
Absolutely, that's a great thing, Miss Meg.
And I also have to make sure I have a flashlight.
Flashlight's a great thing.
And I keep, believe it or not, I keep a couple bottled waters in there and a blanket.
That's a wonderful thing. You must have lived up north a little bit.
No, I just had a car that broke down a lot.
Well, the blanket is the key thing there.
Are
you still living in your car, by the way?
No. Let's not start that rumor.
No, she's not. She's not.
No.
It is a nice car, though. I will say that.
Yeah. And moving on. Okay, let's see.
But, speaking of blankets and stuff, well, the previous show, you and Mr. Mike were talking about, it looks like a spring day out there.
Beautiful.
It's beautiful. We can't ask for a better January day. But let's remember, we're not quite out of wintertime yet, so we're still in the middle of some possible cold snaps.
Okay, we've got a question that's already rolled in this morning. Here you go, guys. Does quick weather changes, nothing we're not used to here in Pensacola, but does quick weather changes from warm to cold and back and forth put extra strain on belts, hoses, batteries, etc.? And I guess the follow-up would be, is there something I can do or need to do?
Mainly it puts a strain on your battery. And the other thing with hot and cold like that, in the colder weather, if you haven't changed your oil in a while, then that's going to get kind of thick and it'll be a little hard to turn over. So yes, they do affect the vehicles, the hot and cold.
One other thing, you know, many of us probably notice from when that cold and then the warmer weather like today, the concrete may sweat and your vehicle may sweat. You know, those things produce a condensation that are still colder than the air temperature. So, of course, now you're getting all that moisture. Believe it or not, on that engine, that develops too. So that drive belt, which is rubber, is moving around on a metal pulley. So those metal pulleys can condensate too. And if you might hear a slight chirp or a squeak from that belt first thing in the morning, you know, not a whole lot you can really do about that. That's weather and nature of it. But be aware. And, you know, if you may hear a belt squeak, not that you do often, but in this more humid or temperature changes, you might hear things like that or brakes. Again, brakes are a smooth, clean metal surface. And if you look at them, they're nice and shiny. Leave them over one night, you know, maybe on the beach. Mm-hmm. Now you try to back up, you know, or go forward, that first tap on the brake pad and you hear that. Well, give it a couple times, it goes away. But that's just how quick surface rust can develop on brake pads. So, you know, things like that that can happen with quick temperature changes and things like that. So, again, not a whole lot you can do. Again, being on top of your car, maintenance is a big thing. But as far as the quick temperature changes, I just have to roll with that one and bundle up yourself. The car will do just fine.
Well, with your shop, and it's out in Gulf Breeze, maybe just tell everybody where it's located so we can kind of go over the information for folks. We're talking with our friends from Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze, and Ken and Kenny Chartel. And I've been with these guys for years with my previous vehicle. They kept it going for many, many years. But where are you located and your hours and that kind of thing, in case someone's listening to the show for the first time?
Absolutely. And just so those who haven't been on the show before, we are celebrating over 30 years in business down there at Gulf Breeze.
We're
located a mile west of the Gulf Breeze Zoo at 5366 Gulf Breeze Parkway. And of course, you can reach us online at Affordable Automotive, GulfBreeze.com, or always give us a call, 850-932-0811. You know, we've been there for over 30 years now, and we've prided ourselves on offering people service and quality that they can afford. You know, while cars can be expensive, auto repair and maintenance doesn't always have to be if done right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That doesn't exclude the fact that parts are getting more expensive and the labor to get to them is changing over the years, as some of you who have lifted the hood found out how tight it's gotten under these vehicles. So all things considered, you know, we do our best, but pride ourselves on that quality that you can afford. So if you're having problems or in the area and need a quality mechanic, by all means, feel free to stop on by. We'd be happy to schedule an appointment for you or just take a quick look at whatever your problem might be.
And what are your hours again?
Monday through Friday, 8 to 5.
Okay.
We're always there.
Okay.
You can find us, knock on the door. If they're not up, we're just trying to stay warm in this chilly weather when it gets a little bit below 40.
I get that. Well, I'm kind of wondering, too, about what should I be doing with my car right now? Anything special? And are you seeing things as people are bringing their vehicles? And what are the things you see this time of year? I'm sure you see lots of overheating in the summer, of course. But what do you see this time of year?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times in this time of year, we see more battery issues than anything.
Yeah,
you know,
that makes sense.
If there was a small coolant leak that didn't show up over the summer, sometimes the customer now complains that they've got no heat inside of the vehicle. Let's remember that engine is what produces the heat, and the antifreeze running through the engine into the inside of the vehicle through that heater core is what gives you that temperature. You know, of course, we've found that, well, now that I need the heat, I realize I don't have the heat. You know,
right.
Most of the times we're not using it here. So that's some of the things that we do see in the colder temperatures and stuff. Batteries are always affected. You know, heat kills them, and the cold is when they start showing up. And that's when we get the slow starts in the morning. The room, room, room. Come on, baby. I got to get to work.
I know you can do it.
You do good sound effects there.
Thanks.
You might get hired in a whole nother field.
I guess so, you know. And that's one thing, you know, customers bring their vehicles to us all the time and have trouble explaining exactly what the issue is. Mm-hmm. I understand you're bringing your concern to us. And not knowing how to explain it isn't your fault, but noise and sound effects work great.
That's true.
You know, one thing that I've implemented in trying to help customers help them diagnose the problem or help us diagnose it is by using our body. You know, our body is similar to a car in a lot of ways. Well, how is that, Kenny? Well, let's talk about suspension.
You took the question right out of my mouth.
Let's talk about suspension. I mean, we all, those suspension parts are all on your vehicle, you know, help smooth the ride out, are all ball and socket. You know, they're linkages. We have ball and socket elbows and joints. What happens when you get up in the morning and you start walking down that hall and everything's quiet and it's crick, crick, crack, crow. Oh, man, I'm getting older. Same thing on your car. You go over a bump and you hear a clank or a clunk or a, something you
That's
didn't.
True.
Oh, my goodness.
The same thing can happen. You know, the lifeblood for us humans is blood. Mm-hmm. What is it for cars? Oil. We don't have to change our blood. We have a liver. That takes care of it for us. Mm-hmm. But in a car, all we have is a filter and it's only so good. So you got to change that too. You know, so things like that I've utilized a lot. Well, silly, it can definitely help get the point across.
Right.
You
know? Analogy. Right.
Great analogy.
That's great. So one of the questions just came in. What about antifreeze? When do I change that? So I don't know. I know I go regularly to have my oil changed. Do you have to have your antifreeze changed?
Well,
that's
with
a good question.
It's a great question.
It is a very good
part
question.
Part of maintenance.
And it is part of maintenance to check it once in a while. Changing the antifreeze in this day and age, it goes pretty far unless you're just running the old green. And the old rule of thumb there was every 2 years. But with Dexcool and some of these other ones now, it's 5 years, 150,000 miles. But don't forget, last summer you had that coolant leak and you kept adding water to it and never put any antifreeze in it. So now is, you know, definitely is the time with the cooler weather to make sure your mixture is back at a 50-50 so that you don't get freeze up, or the straight water or lack of antifreeze then starts to rust things up, like the Impella on the water pump. And some of the engines still have freeze plugs. They're building engines out of aluminum, so we don't use what we call a freeze plug, and they're actually called Welch plugs. But and they'll rust those out too, and then you'll start getting pin leaks. And that's why you need to keep up with the antifreeze. But there's, you know, the manufacturer in the book will tell you when it should be changed at what intervals.
So can I bring my vehicle to you all to your shop and say, hey, can you check it for me? Is that
Absolutely.
How that works?
We have a checker, and we can look at the quality of that antifreeze, of course. You can look at it, of course, with the naked eye and see if the color is still there. If the color is a little discolored or yellowed compared to what it was, you know, and it's been a few years, it might be time to go ahead and change that fluid. Again, as Pops was saying, if you've been noticing a leak or a sweet smell that you hadn't seen anything dripping on the ground, it might be something that is an issue. Again, antifreeze has got a glycol agent in there, and when burning, it smells sweet. So it's a very noticeable smell. If anybody has had a coolant leak, you know what I'm talking about. So that's always something to look for there. But yes, absolutely. As far as the antifreeze maintenance interval goes, per every manufacturer, there is a set interval, but a typical rule of thumb is 5 years, 100,000.
Oh, okay. So about five. I thought maybe it was yearly, but 5 years. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Some of them want it done it sooner.
Unless it's an older car that you are just running the green antifreeze. And yeah. Then they do, they again go back to the old rule of thumb every 2 years on that.
Okay.
So I was going to ask you guys, so I know, you know, in college days and growing up a long time ago, you'd have people that would be negligent on that and just doing the old water thing, and then they'd have a cracked block.
Yeah, so when it froze.
Still, yeah, do you see any of that these days, or is this modern antifreeze pretty much cure that, or what's the deal nowadays?
Yes, it still happens quite a bit. People up north are quite cognizant of this problem, so they do keep their antifreeze up a lot more than we do down here. And we get that, it's going to be below freezing here for the next 2 days. Yes, I have seen crack blocks before.
Wow, okay.
And then the engine's done. There's basically no repair to
it. So
this
is a pretty important thing to look out for.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Once that block cracks, I mean, you can try welding them, and I've tried that over the years, mm-hmm. but they're just never the same.
Right. No, that makes sense. We've got a lot of texts rolling in this morning. So if you have a text and you'd like to find out more about your car, this is the Car Show with Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze. Ken and Katie Chartel are here along with Howard Seaton, and they can answer any of your questions. So feel free, no matter how, I always ask the dumb questions. I got that covered for you.
No,
so you don't have to worry about any questions being dumb.
No question is a dumb question.
That's right, especially where cars are concerned. So here's a good one. What is the best way to clear up your windshield in colder weather? Do I turn up or down the temperature defrost? I always get that confused. There you go. That's a good one.
Well, you know, in the colder weather and things like that, when you're getting the moisture on the inside of the windshield is what you're getting there. And to try to get rid of that, it's always best to make sure the AC compressor is working. I know it's not cold, but that air conditioning actually dries that air that it's pulling in from outside. It dries the air, then that heater core will heat up the air, and that's what helps clear your window much quicker.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's a good answer. So then the other question is, people spray stuff on their windshields to clean them, that kind of thing. Is that a bad idea when it's really cold?
No, I've seen that and used it before on an older vehicle of mine that didn't have a great working defrost. And the Rain-X anti-fog. And it works the same as the water beating on the front of the glass. You know, it keeps that water from beating on top, on top of the glass.
Inside.
On the inside, of course. So, yes, it helps, especially if your AC does not work in the vehicle and it might be a costly repair, you're not ready for it yet, then yeah, that would be something I'd recommend because, again, like Pop said, that air conditioning system is vital in terms of drying out that air. While the heat will dry it out a little bit, it won't do enough.
It takes longer.
It'll take a lot longer to do so, especially in the environment that we live here in Florida. So, you know, humidity is high all around us.
Always.
That's true. Okay, I've got another question that just came in on the text line. Why does my car take a long time to start in the morning? That's probably a complicated answer, but it probably only happens in the cold weather, right?
Well, yeah, that's hard to say. I mean, is it happening only in the cold weather?
Does that mean there's something wrong with the car?
Yes, something's not right.
It doesn't like something on that first start. If it used to crank once and then turn right over.
It's like me. It needs a cup of coffee to get going.
You might need an espresso.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Real kickstart.
But are there certain sounds? Like, because I like this question. Is there a normal slow startup, or when is it time to get it checked? When is the sign? What does this sound like?
Well, again, it's... You know, how is it, Kenny? How's that? Run, 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 run. If it's doing that, normally you notice that it's about a run, run, boom, and the engine's running.
Mm-hmm.
With the advent of electric fuel pumps, actually I was testing one this morning, and it was a condition for a hard start. And what I found on it is...
Or a long crank,
and... What it is the fuel pump is going bad on this particular one, and it just takes a long time for it to prime up. Mm-hmm. Once it primes up, then it starts like it always does.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be something with a fuel pump. There are the coolant temp sensors that if it's stuck, say, at thinking that the engine is 90 degrees and it's really in the 30s, it's not going to want to start is fast and easy because the computer can't compensate for the cold weather if it doesn't know that it's cold.
Mm-hmm.
It has to rely on the sensors. So if it doesn't know that it's cold, it can't add more fuel to make it a quicker start.
Right. That makes sense. So the follow-up to that is, how can I tell if my starting problem is a battery, ignition switch, or something else?
Well, I mean, if it eventually starts and things like that, I would doubt it's an ignition switch
or a starter at that point,
or
if it's
a starter
turning over.
Right.
You know, again, and that's a common confusion with our customers too, you know, that it won't start. Okay, well, will it not turn over and not fire up, or will it turn up? And so, you know, it's...
So then he go, then Kenny goes the rah, 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 rah. Is it doing that or is it click, click, click?
Click, 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 you know?
Click, click is a battery. I know that.
It could be the battery, could be a starter, but absolutely you're on the right path because that starter, of course, is run off the battery. And if it's a low battery on a cold morning and now all of a sudden that battery's toast, click, click, there
That's
you go.
That's my least favorite car sound, just so you know.
Yeah. That's where that kit in the trunk comes along with the new jumper cables.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Or
definitely.
That battery pack, that emergency jump
or
battery
Or one of those
pack.
Little emergency battery packs. Those things are amazing.
I don't have that in my car. What is that?
It's like a miniature battery, and you basically hook it up to your battery like you would when you're jumping it, and it has its own power source in it, and they've gotten these things down that there's enough there to even start a diesel on some of them.
Wow.
And they're not much bigger than, oh, I don't know. You can get them as small as a cell phone, you know.
Are you serious? And it would restart your battery?
Yep.
So at least you could, if you got stuck somewhere in the middle of the night, at least you could get to a place with that.
It's a great emergency tool, you know, and in some cases better than jumper cables, because if you're in that parking lot getting off work at 9 o'clock at night or out in the middle of nowhere or stopped at the rest area on that drive to grandma's and now it won't start, if nobody's there to help put those jump cables on, you've got nothing. So at least with this battery pack or those battery packs, you've got your own best friend at that point. You got the battery pack and you can fire it up if that's the problem. So, you know,
I didn't even know those existed. So I'm definitely going to look into that. That would make me just feel better knowing I have that in my trunk.
Absolutely.
Right?
But you do have to remember to recharge that battery pack once in a while.
And that's as simple as plugging it into a USB. But, you know, so long as you've got it charged up, you shouldn't have any issues there. So
while she's folding her blankets. And
stuff. Absolutely.
Very funny.
Absolutely.
Huh? Okay. All right. Another question that came in. This is a good one because it's related. Any best battery brands that you all recommend?
Now,
do you
at
see
our shop,
some that last or do better than others?
Now, at our shop at Affordable Automotive, we've always run, we've been a distributor for Interstate Batteries for as long as we've been open, and they've been a quality battery. Interstate is, from our experience, stood behind their product, and for the most part, their fail rate is very low. Now, granted, you're always going to have a bad apple or a new battery that may have a bad cell in it, but over the long term and the years we've been using them, they've been a fantastic battery. And matter of fact, I think my lead acid in my truck is just going on 7 years, so I've made that baby last.
Wow.
That is a long time on that one.
So
that
not all of them do they work that well, you know, but yeah, Interstate's a great battery brand. There are others out there that you can get cheaper, and we see a lot more failure rates. We call them never starts.
Oh gosh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to get that brand.
But they're out there. They're, you know, and again, an inexpensive battery isn't a bad thing. It's just knowing the signs of when that thing is starting to get weak, like the customer, like the texter earlier. If it's a rum rum rum, and you're not normally hearing a rum rum rum, it's rum rum rum. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Much quicker, and that's when obviously you know there's an issue there and need to be on top of that, and that's part of being on top of your car care, knowing the sounds, the noises, the things your vehicle did and doesn't do anymore that it used to, you know. And so best batteries, like most things today, outside of Interstate, there's probably one or two battery manufacturers, so they all come from the same factory and just stamped with a different label as such. Now, of course, you've got different categories of batteries. You've got lead acid, you've got gel cell, you've got lithium ion, AGM batteries. So again, now we start getting into a whole nother road of batteries, but for simple purposes, your vehicle's owner's manual will have exactly what type of battery yours will require. It'll state it clearly there, and if not, you can look underneath the hood if the battery is easily accessible, and look on top of there because that'll have the information for you as well.
Are you saying I should read the owner's manual?
It has a lot of great information, Meg. I'm not saying you need to sit down all night, but it'd be a good idea to maybe take a review.
We're talking with our friends Ken and Kenny Chartel with Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze. What's that website again?
AffordableAutomotiveGulfBreeze.com.
And do we have a phone number folks can call if they wanted to make an appointment?
850-932-0811. And we're located at 5366 Gulf Breeze Park.
You don't know what I got. You don't know what I got. so don't put me down. But I've got the fastest set of wheels in town. When something comes up to me, he don't even try. Cause if I had a set of wings, man, I know she could fly. She's my little Deuce Coupe. You don't know.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, rocking to the Beach Boys here in the studio. All the guys, their heads are nodding to this song. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg, and we're going to have some fun this morning because our friends from Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze have agreed to stick around for another half hour since we've had so many texts coming this morning asking questions about car care, and that's what this is, the Car Care Show. And we've been talking about batteries, and so I shared during the break, when I was in high school, I took this auto mechanics class, and one of the things they had us do was to go home, and it was my mom's car and my dad's car, and they said, okay, here's what you need to do to clean that corrosion off the battery. So I got out all the stuff, and it was baking soda and water. Well, whatever I did, I don't remember, I killed both batteries. My father was furious. What have you done? And that kind of, I was real excited about auto mechanics, and that kind of killed it for me, and I've had car guilt ever since. So,
well, Meg, I think we can relieve you of some of this car guilt, can't
really?
We, Father?
Can
yes,
you?
I believe so.
So, what did I do? And what do we do to take care of our car batteries?
You actually just didn't do anything wrong there.
I
you
didn't?
Were actually helping the problem.
I did.
Yes, you accelerated the problem because you
I'm
were going to have battery problems
problem.
Anyway. If those terminals were falling apart, then you were going to have that problem anyway. It just, you showed it up a little bit quicker, which is, nothing you did wrong, which is good. You do need to clean a battery once in a while.
So that is something you should do with baking soda still today?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, baking.
Okay, talk about that maybe. Give me a lesson on how to do that correctly, maybe.
Well, one thing is put a little baking soda. You don't need much, a teaspoon into a cup and stir it all up and then proceed to pour that onto your terminals. You don't need to pour it all over the top of the battery, but onto the terminals is the best because the baking soda neutralizes the sulfuric acid in the battery.
And that's what's causing that kind of white
stuff, that
corrosion.
That's what's causing
that
white, fuzzy, hairy stuff on the terminals.
It can be green when it's been going too long, and really, you can't even hardly see the terminal at that point.
Right. It's grown so badly on it. And so then what you're doing with the baking soda is you're neutralizing, that is actually the sulfuric acid that's in the battery that you're seeing on top. And all batteries are going to what we call gas a little bit as they're charging while you're driving down the road. And those gases do come out of the battery. Yes, I know a lot of batteries now are maintenance free and you can't pop the top to check the water level in your battery anymore, which if you can, please just use just distilled water when you're topping off a battery, if you still can.
Not
a lot
tap
of batteries.
Water, not tap
now,
water.
Now, there's too many minerals in the tap water. But by putting the baking soda on there on those terminals, and then you go ahead and just rinse the whole top of the battery off with the regular water. You're not putting it in the battery. You're just putting it over the top of the battery.
Remember, these batteries are sealed, so you're not going to, introduce water inside
into
of them.
It.
So, again, in Megan, your situation, even then, the batteries were sealed. So like Pop said, you just kind of accelerated the issue. But let's not forget, batteries, when they charge, like Pop said, they gas. And think of a small AA battery. Maybe you left it in a remote control too long and then went to pull it out. And now you notice this battery is leaking. Well, your car battery does the same thing. But it's a good idea to wash that corrosion off. It's going to happen, and we see it all the time. And, whenever we're doing a repair on a vehicle at our shop, to ensure we've done a good job and make sure we've solved that oil leak or that coolant problem, we always hose down underneath the hood. And one of the things we find always is that battery is just filthy. So, that's a simple thing you can do just by lifting the hood. Now, granted, a lot of these cars have more covers than they need on them. Don't let me get too excited about that. But if you can see the battery, then yeah, it's a good idea to go ahead and give it a light rinse, because that's battery maintenance that will ultimately, one, help the state of the charge of the battery, and two, keep that corrosion from creating a bad connection.
So when the battery is really dirty on the top of it and it has that corrosion, what happens then is because it's on top of the battery and your two posts are right there, your positive and negative, that actually will bleed from one terminal to another. And it's what we call a parasitic draw. And what that is, it's slowly eating a voltage out of the battery.
Oh, wow.
It'd be like leaving a light on.
Correct.
Basically. And when it gets severe enough and that parasitic draw and that voltage starts getting so high, yeah, it's like leaving a small light bulb on or something.
Correct.
So you're constantly, the battery is constantly under a state of load.
Interesting.
Which is working the alternator a lot harder because now it's trying to go ahead and charge his battery up that's actually depleting itself because of the grime on the top of it.
You know, our friend Howard had a great question about a battery light on our dashboard
and
what that actually means. Doesn't
that
mean my battery is bad? I need to replace it? I mean, it's showing me.
Actually, no, that nice little picture there is just telling you that there is some sort of an electrical charging problem. Has nothing to do with the state of your battery.
Really? That I always thought that meant your battery's going.
No, that light, you can put that battery light has absolutely nothing to do with the battery. It's just telling you that there is something in the charging system that there is a problem with.
I really need to read the owner's manual.
There is a lot of good stuff. But at the end of the day, yeah, I mean, that alternator could be at fault. You know, there could be another electrical issue within the system.
That's very true. So, yes, we talk about that battery light and, you know, I hear it quite a bit. People are like, oh, the battery light came on. I put a new battery in and it drove half the day and it died again. Well, the battery light was on because the alternator wasn't charging, again, having nothing to do with that battery. So you put a brand new battery in it and it worked until it was out of charge.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So how long do you have when you see that battery light come up? Is that something you need to take care of immediately? Or do you have a little window of time?
I would take care of that right away because you don't have long.
No.
Again, because we've got radios playing, headlights on, AC going, all that stuff's eating up power. So if that battery light is obviously indicating an electrical issue, you may have an alternator not charging, in which case time is limited because we only have so much capacity in that battery.
Correct. And best is try to shut as much things off that you can, but also remember now in a lot of these new cars, they're electronic power steering, so there's a big motor that has to move back and forth.
Of course, yeah.
And the alternator needs to keep that battery up, so you're going to lose steering here, and other components are going to go. So
yeah, when that alternator or electrical problem does pop up because of the introduction of electronic power steering pumps and AC compressors and things like that for hybrid vehicles and just the normal ones too, there'll be a lot of other warning signs coming up along with that battery light anymore. Now on your older vehicles, it was just that battery light that would show up. And, you know, obviously, again, still something indicating a problem with that charging electrical system on the vehicle.
Correct.
So, but, you know, again, part of battery electrical maintenance, you know, being aware of these things and understanding what each of those lights mean on your dash is pretty important. Again, that owner's manual and understanding what each of those are, you know, and it just helps for when those emergency situations do pop up, because as a mechanic, myself and my father have definitely been stranded a time or two, whether it be on a road trip or back and forth to work. It's going to happen. And, you know, we do our best to prevent those issues too, but being prepared and knowing kind of what you're up against is half the battle.
Okay, if you just joined us, we're talking with Ken and Kenny Chartel with Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze. This is the Car Care Show. So if you have a text or a question, text it in at 850-437-1620. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple minutes with Pep Talk. Welcome back to Pep Talk with the Car Care Show. Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze is here with us, 850-437-1620. Been talking about some of the things we deal with cars in the wintertime and engines starting and not starting, batteries, that kind of thing. So it's sort of what is your car telling you? I think that's the theme here this morning, right?
Yes, your car is always telling you something. You know, that cough or that hiccup first thing in the morning is an indication it's not feeling well. So be aware of what that is and what that light is showing up at.
Don't ignore it.
Don't ignore it. Don't think that I can get to work today and again tomorrow riding the same problem. It just doesn't work that way anymore. But we've been talking a lot about battery maintenance and low voltage and what that battery symbol means on the dash and, you know, other problems that can arise when you start seeing that alternator failing and maybe a low battery issue starts coming up. Our friend Howard has a great story for that.
Oh, well, I don't know how great it was, but now, on the way to college, you know, in the college days in my candy apple red bug Volkswagen.
I love it.
And, you know, money, you know, don't have much money, so you just let things go until they can't go anymore. But the battery light came on, and I just kept running and running, and most of the day. Anyway, going out to class at night, the lights start getting real dim. And it had, by the way, it had a 6-volt battery in the 66.
So they were dim to begin with. Yeah, right.
You have to hear a handle.
6-volt battery for a car?
Six volts, really. Wow. But it didn't hold long, and I didn't make it, and I was stranded out there.
Oh, no.
Off scenic highway. They called it Warlock Country back then, by the way.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Lucky to be alive still.
Yeah.
Somehow it came out, you know.
But
some hippies came by and they said, "Hey, we don't have any acid in our battery or inside of us either." So,
there you go.
So they gave
Those were the days.
So they gave me a ride and everything's fine.
Oh, that's so funny.
I just got out of rehab yesterday.
So. Oh, you're
looking
God.
Great.
TMI, Howard.
Took
TMI.
That long, huh?
But I bet you got that battery replaced, didn't
mm-hmm.
you?
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that alternator,
in
I
fact,
should
we
say.
Hooked up a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, this is the Car Care Show. If you just joined us, going, what are they talking about? We're talking about batteries and car care this winter season. 850-437-1620 if you have a question. And I'm not afraid to ask the dumb ones, so there are no dumb questions,
Never
right?
Never a dumb
nope.
question, Meg.
Especially
these cars,
cars,
trust me, we've even got dumb questions that well, we think are dumb, but they aren't so dumb. It was pretty valid, actually.
Yes. Every question is a valid question.
You know, as technicians, we have to stay up on the evolving technology that gets put into these cars. You know, we don't see it 2 years in advance. We see it the day it comes into the shop broken down, and now all of a sudden we're involved with the vehicle and new technologies. So, you know, staying up to date with our classes and things like that that help us be proficient and learn the new technologies on these cars is what, you know, gives us the ability to diagnose them correctly the first time, you
right.
know, to the best of our ability. You know, there's always that one that's a big head scratcher or something like that.
Right.
So things to think about there. But
and one thing also on that is, you know, the manufacturers themselves are just not giving out the information that we need sometimes to diagnose these problems. The dealership will see it right when the vehicle's brand new, so they're aware of this little bug that's eventually going to show up.
Absolutely.
And we don't have that ability. It's just when you finally tow it in and we look at that bug. Now, this is the first time we're seeing it. Yes, you can go to the wonderful internet and see if anybody else is getting any of these type of issues, and you get mixed reviews there, so I don't always count on that. But again, remember that, you know, we're not the manufacturer of these vehicles. We're just the technician trying to repair them.
Okay, guys, we've got a listener on the line who just called into Pep Talk, 850-437-1620. Good morning to you. It's Paul on the line. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. How's it going?
Good. So I understand you got a question for us?
I do. I have an 87 Ford van, cargo van, and it just needs a little TLC. I need to have it checked out and see what is or isn't wrong with it.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. That's something we could certainly take a look at. You know, at our shop, Affordable Automotive, we can definitely get you an appointment set up, and we'd be happy to take a look at it, see what kind of issues you've got going on.
Can you text me the address and all that?
Yeah, we'd be happy to do that. I'm sure we can do that from Meg's wonderful station over here and get you the information needed so that you can give us a call. And for all our other listeners, that number is 850-932-0811. And, of course, we always have somebody standing by to answer that phone and get you scheduled in so we can get that vehicle looked at for you. Are you having any major issues with it today?
No, I don't drive it all the time anymore. I used to, but lately I just use it to pick up materials and stuff like that from my shop.
Yeah, fair
and,
enough.
I'm just You know, I haven't taken the best care of it, but I've had it a long time. When I got it, it had the speedometer said it had 72,000 miles on it, but I think that might have been stretching it a little. It could have been turned over a little by then.
Possibly. You know, being an older vehicle, that ability is there to kind of rotate those.
Yeah, and I've had it 20 years at least, probably more, but that's all I remember.
Okay.
Well, Paul, that'd be something we definitely wouldn't have a problem working on for you. Again, we can get you that information. And, you know, again, we're located right there about a mile west of the Gulf Breeze Zoo at 5366 Gulf Breeze Parkway. And we're right there in the heart of between Gulf Breeze and Navarre. So we'll get that information over to you.
All right. And if you do me a favor, Paul, if you could text me with the same number, and then that way I can text you back with all the info.
Number I called in on?
Yes, sir. I don't have it showing up on my line here, so that way I've got your number.
Okay, I'll text it soon.
All right, super. Thanks for calling in, Paul. We appreciate you. Thanks for listening to Pep Talk.
Yeah, do I need to say anything or just text?
I just text it in and I'll know it's you.
We appreciate the call and thank you for listening.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, guys, so we've got folks listening. If you do have a question, feel free to text it in at 850-437-1620. We're going to take a quick break here, and we will be back in just a couple minutes. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. Our experts are here for the Car Care Show. We have Ken and Kenny Chartel here. Howard is our representative from ADX Digital and Regular Marketing for all of our radio stations. So great to have you guys here as we kick off the new year.
It's always fantastic to be here, Meg.
We've had some great questions coming in about car care. So let's just kind of review this morning as we go through, we're kind of wrapping up the show now, but how can people get in touch with you? Where are you located again? It's a Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze.
That's right. Serving the community for over 30 years. We're a mile west of the Gulf Breeze Zoo. We're located right there at 5366 Gulf Breeze Parkway. Of course, you can always give us a call. We do our appointments, scheduled appointments. You can find us always at our phone, 850-932-0811, or online at affordableautomotivegulfbreeze.com. And of course, we're with technology. You can do online appointments, so feel free to make an appointment through that online website as well. That's always a nice feature and things like that.
But is your place on the north or south side of the highway?
We're actually on the north side of Highway 98. We're at the major intersection of East Bay Boulevard or 399 and 98.
You can't miss it. It's
can't
right
miss
there.
It. We're next to three gas stations. Yep. There's a big one, a medium-sized one, and a small one. And so they're all there. It's a pretty big landmark.
Okay. And I'm going to hit you with one last question before we go. What's your favorite thing about what y'all do? Why do you keep doing this? Working on cars.
Some days it's kind of tough, I'll tell you. Lack of information in the way they design these things. Me and the engineer would have some words out there.
Yes, the engineering department and I would have a lot of words. I wouldn't be building them the way they are, but
that's a great question, though.
It you is. Know,
what keeps us moving to turn a wrench? And
I'll tell you, one of the things that I know about the two of you, having had you as service mod, the car that I had, that I wanted to keep running for almost 10 years, 10 plus years.
Absolutely.
There must be a certain satisfaction with customers like me who don't know a darn thing about cars. I just want to keep it running.
And then
I walk away and I feel secure in the vehicle. I feel like everything's been looked at and taken care of. And it's important.
Absolutely. The best thing that we can do is surprise a customer with a repair that wasn't anywhere close to what they expected.
Right.
And maybe something that was half of what they expected or quoted. And the biggest thing we get satisfaction from is that quality you can afford.
Okay.
So don't forget to meet us there at 5366 Gulf Breeze Parkway.